And now, Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Two points kind of jump out to me in this gospel reading that we have for today. The first point is that Jesus is laying out a plan for us as to how to disagree and how to make up, how to be reconciled. And the second thing is, he reminds us of the power of prayer, especially corporate prayer, especially when we gather together as we are right now in the name of Christ. I'm always a bit amazed and sometimes amused when periodically someone joins the church with great naivete and they think that they have left the imperfect, money-grubbing, power-hungry secular world behind and entered into an ethereal monastic community where everything is sweet and light and everything is very calm and everything is loving and no one ever gossips or spread rumors or disagrees on anything. And then when they find out it's not quite that way, excuse me, there seems to be a loss of enthusiasm and a withdrawal and sometimes church hopping in search of that perfect church. And I've told you at least a dozen times what my dad told me, and he said, I was complaining about the church. He said, your problem is you're looking for the perfect church, and A, it doesn't exist. B, if you happen to find one, they won't let you in because it won't be perfect anymore. Dad had a way with words. You know, the interesting thing about Jesus is that he was divinely incarnate, but he was not divinely naive. By that I mean, he knew that there were going to be disagreements within the body of Christ, within the church. And of course, Matthew adds the word the church in the scripture reading, because at the time of Jesus, there was no church. There were followers of Christ. And within the church, Jesus knew that there would be disagreements. And so he said, here's what you do. 1, 2, 3. I'm kind of okay with the first two, but the third one bothers me a lot. Where if the person doesn't agree or doesn't be reconciled, then you come before the church, and I don't know if I can make that work or not. But you see, the point being, just as in marriage or in other relationships, there's going to be disagreements and misunderstandings. The issue is, will you settle those issues fairly and in the name of Christ, and in the spirit of love? That's the difference in the church. And so in this gospel reading, Jesus is laying out some ground rules for fighting fairly, if you will, some theological Robert's rules of order. And basically what he's saying is that we should never tolerate an extended time when we are in disagreement and when we're not in harmony with each other. You need to work it out soon, he says. And it's interesting to note that he puts the onus on the victim. He said, if someone's offends you or hurt you, you go to them. And you say, look, we have a problem. I don't know if you realize it or not, but we have a problem. I have a problem, and we need to work it out. We need to be reconciled, because so much energy and time is wasted on being irreconciled, on being at odds with each other. Thank God we don't have that problem here at St. Catherine's. But some places they do. But if we happen to have that problem, here's what Jesus says we do. And he spells it out. You go straight to the person and talk, straight talk with them. Now, growing up in the South, I have a problem with that because we don't attack anything directly. We go all the way around the barn to get to the front door, and then maybe we'll circle around the field and we'll come back here again. In New York City, I didn't have that problem knowing where a New Yorker stood on any issue because they let you know in a heartbeat. And Jesus is saying that when we go to the other person, we speak the truth, as Paul said, speak the truth in love. It's difficult to do. And I think it's hard for many people to do. But we don't go behind their back. We don't gossip. We go straight to them and we talk. And what Jesus is saying, if your brother does you wrong or your sister makes a mistake and you have a problem, you speak to them. And don't gunny sack, I think, is what is implied. You know what gunny sacking is? You have a little sack on your back, and every time something happens that some person disagrees with you or they make you angry, or you take that and you put it in the sack on your back, and then all of a sudden that sack gets so heavy you can't carry it around, and so you dump it on some unsuspecting victim someplace. And they say, where did that come from? It's because you've been carrying all this stuff around on your back. Jesus says, take care of it immediately. Take care of it as it happens. You see, it's difficult to do. And sometimes we overcompensate. We gunny sack on people, come off too strong, too aggressive. George Bernard Shaw was one of those people who enjoyed being rude and aggressive. And while he was still a music critic, he was dining with a friend in a restaurant, and the orchestra was particularly bad. And the orchestra director noticed him over there, and they wrote him a note and said, what would you like the orchestra to play next? And he said, wrote back, dominoes. Because they couldn't play music. Of course, Shaw met his match when he sent a note to Winston Churchill with two tickets and says to his new play, St. Joan, saying to Winston Churchill, here are two tickets, one for you and one for your friend, if you have one. Churchill wrote back to him expressing his regret for not being able to attend the performance that night, but requesting tickets for the next night, he said, if there is one. You see, St. Paul warned us against that kind of banter within the body of Christ. He says, speak the truth in love, and Jesus says, take care of it immediately. And it's our job as members of the body of Christ to speak to each other lovingly and genuinely, to keep harmony within the body. And we never know how what we say, we were talking about this some in Sunday school class, what we say affects other people, how we can with our tongues slice up someone else or harm them. There was a little church in Italy where the altar boy was serving the priest on Sunday Eucharist, and he dropped the cruet of wine, and the priest slapped him on the shoulder and in a gruff voice said, leave the altar and don't come back. That boy became Benito Mussolini. There was another little boy in Africa who was serving the priest at the altar and dropped the cruet, and the priest, with a twinkle in his eye, said, one day you will be a priest. that little boy became Archbishop Desmond Tutu. Speaking the truth in love, being sensitive to other people, that's what the gospel is all about. And then Jesus goes on to say that if two or three are gathered together in his name, that he's going to be in the midst of us. He's in the midst right now, right here, within this congregation. That's a stunning endorsement of corporate prayer. And you remember that every Sunday for months, we've been praying that God will guide the search committee, that God will guide the vestry in the selection of a rector for this parish. And I believe with all my heart that that has happened. I believe that God has guided this group of people to select the person that God has selected for our congregation. And so it's now up to us to get ready for that person when they come, to get our hearts set so that we can make that person the best rector in the state of Florida. Get behind them. Get behind that person who will guide us, and we will pray for the next weeks, however long it takes for them to get on site, that God will guide us. Because you see, we have something very precious right here at St. Catherine's Episcopal Church. We have a loving group of people, and we are called to do a job here in this community to spread the word of Christ and Christ's love to the community and to the world. We have so much potential, and I pray that God will guide us in the weeks to come. Amen.